welcome to yet another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is episode number 117, and I'm not going to make the Halo joke that I put in the title there because I'm sorry. Today is Monday. It's December 2nd, 2013, and we just came off the Thanksgiving break here in the U.S. Locke will go and gnash and wail and insist that Thanksgiving happened a month ago, but
I had a really good weekend, though. I had a free weekend that has never happened in a really long time. So I was celebrating Thanksgiving alongside all my American compadres.
Nice. That's amazing.
And you freaking, you banged out some video stuff for me, like a champ, too.
Yeah, the Xbox sharing thing is pretty easy to be able to just grab stuff and share and send. And it worked out really well, so.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, it was a long weekend, and, next to all the housework that I think Nick and I got done with, we also played a lot of games, so let's just go with Locke. Locke played a lot of games that I like, but also played this weekend, but I'm not going to talk about them today, so let's hear it.
I'm just got old stuff going on. Risk of Rain, I unlocked, like, what is there, 10 characters or 8 characters? Anyways, I only have two more to get. I have to get the Engineer, which is on a random level that I actually haven't made it to yet.
Awesome.
And I really want to play as him because he seems pretty cool with his pickaxes.
And that's the Miner.
Miner, sorry, not the Engineer. I have the Engineer. And what's the one for completing the game 5 times? The Captain, I think it is, maybe, but
you better be a captain if you complete the game 5 times.
I've only finished it. Well, we last Monday was it? We were streaming.
We did it.
Yeah.
And then did we have an impromptu one? I think as well. No, we
no. I tried to. I tried to because you were like hanging around and it said that you were playing Risk of Rain, and then I messaged you and never heard back. And
but you, Jason, my heart you was and broken. I, Mike had to leave, and you and I made it to the end.
We did.
And then that was great because making it to the end of that game on normal is pretty tough.
And we were at like the hardest difficulty too, by the time we beat
like, I'm, what is it? I'm looking at you or something is the hardest difficulty.
It's I see you and then you, yeah. I can't remember something past that. And then it just goes ha 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 ha. Like, that's the difficulty.
That's excellent. I think getting like there's a certain amount of skill. Mm-hmm. That you have to be able to be good at that game, but there's also a lot of luck involved in like the drops.
Just your item drops,
Because if you don't get a lot of I find like the survival stuff you can kind of go without for a while, but if you don't get the damage boosting abilities really quickly, it starts being a real uphill battle.
Yeah,
but and I love that game.
I love it too. I really like like doling out like, hey, you're gonna be the tank. You take this thing that regenerates your health, or you get this barbed wire shield. Okay, you get the thing that gives you critical hits, and I like getting those distributing random loot, and it happens every 15 minutes, right? So
yeah.
Whoa, someone was yelling at me. Risk of Rain. I don't know if it's on. It's still on sale on the Steam sale, so buy it no matter what because it's awesome, and I foresee that showing up on a couple of lists at the end of the year here.
Yeah, we gotta get back in that.
The other thing I played is what we also streamed, like I said, Path of Exile. Which is so good. We just started new characters, and just dipping into that, I've been dabbling, and again, I have like 4 characters started, nothing really past level 10. So I haven't really got into the meat of it, and I think Mike can speak to that a bit more. I know we've talked about it a bit on the show, but it's really, like we said on the stream, you can play that game, and it feels good, and it's a really good game right up front. Clicking on stuff, dying, that feedback loop that those action RPGs give you, especially the loot-based dungeon crawler ones. But it's not until you hit those higher levels and you get the gems. And the gems actually...
the support gems. You get gems right away.
And I haven't got a support gem, but I know what they are because you've explained them to me. And I can't wait to get to there because that's where you can really take your character from being, okay, he is a spellcaster or a summoner, and then taking them down this crazy path, no pun intended, but you take them down this tangential path of not only the skills in the sphere grid, but also your gems. And it's really cool, this complement, the two things complement each other. You have your skills on one side and your gems on the other, and how you integrate those together and the synergy between those is just crazy. It's infinite. The possibilities are infinite, because
you will probably poop yourself the first time you get a cast on crit support gem.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So I use my spammable melee attack ability with a cast on crit that also launches like ice shards.
Yeah.
So every time I do a critical hit, it gives me a free cast of another ability, and the game just starts going freaking bonkers once you're. And I think they just added that in with the new patch, but that game is so freaking good.
Yeah. The last thing I've been playing isn't co-op, but I'm gonna do a Beyond co-op review once I've put a good chunk of time into it, because it is another action RPG. And it's the latest Ease game, Memories of Salkeeda, I think it's called. I think I'm saying that right, maybe. Anyways, this is my first Ease game in a really long time. And I'm talking like I played the first one on, I believe, NES, is it? Yeah.
You would have played Wanderers from Ease on the Super Nintendo.
Was it Super Nintendo? Yeah, it was a
the
side
other games
it was
were
a
Japanese TurboGrafx-16 games that didn't come here until much later.
Yeah, it was a side-scrolling one, and I remember you fought by bumping into dudes. That is my caveat when I'm talking about this game. But it is an action RPG. You control a party of characters, but only one at a time, and everyone follows you as you go around. And it feels really good because you have a lot of control. Like, there is a very big focus on combat. It has a guard. It has a parry system. It has a dodge mechanic where if you dodge, it goes into slow motion, kind of like Witch Time in Bayonetta. Playing it on the Vita, the controls are okay. They're manageable. They're serviceable. But it's a little tough to be really exact. So you kind of swing. You do your skills. Your guys level up. You collect things. There's a crafting system. But the core of the game is mapping out this giant forest. And Mike told me that it's the same main character in every game, which is kind of cool. His name's Adol, and
Adol
Chistin, and he comes out of this forest with amnesia. You're trying to get his memory back. It's a very typical sort of JRPG story, but the mechanics are really good for this type of game, and I really enjoy it. So I'm only like, I don't know, 5-6 hours in, which for that style of game is not that much. So I'm going to try and, you know, go through a lot more. And it's really neat because your goal is to map out this forest, and you can get lost in it and that sort of thing. And it's kind of a cool goal, because I haven't played an RPG in a while, and I haven't played one where you're like, you're not just going from town to town to town. There's a central town, and then you're just going back into the forest from there and exploring and trying to map more and more of it every time. And I'm not talking about like mapping like Etrian Odyssey mapping, but
dang, now you lost my interest.
Yeah, I know, but it's a lot more exciting than Etrian Odyssey. So but yeah, it's really cool. I really like the combat.
Around these parts, son.
I really like the combat, and for not playing an Ease game in a really long time, it's pretty fun. It's super fun. So,
if you dig this, one that you should also check out is Oath and Fel'Ghana. It's actually the remake of either 3 or 4.
Okay,
it was a PSP release. You can find it for like you can find it for $10 on PSN.
Nice.
I really dug that one.
And that's a Vita game.
It's a good remake.
Right?
Yeah, that's the Vita one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and those, I really like playing RPGs on the Vita because I just leave it in sleep or suspend mode and I pick it up and just keep going. It's helped me with like the Persona games. It's helped me with like, just any RPG where you have like long drawn out conversations and maybe you need to take a break, and I don't have time to wait for a save point in my life as an adult. So that's why I like playing them on the mobile platforms, especially like if you're on the couch or in bed. I like it there too. So
here's like, screw it, click.
Pretty much.
All right, I'm done.
Pretty much.
Oh, you're talking again. Sorry.
That's all right. So yeah, that's about it for me. Pretty light, but lots of good ones in there, and also just buying lots of Steam games.
Yeah, how much have you spent on the Autumn Sale?
About $20 a day.
A day.
What?
All right.
Acquire we'll all the it. Games.
How much have you spent on the Steam Sale this time, Nick?
Well, I spent $10 on Risk of Rain, or $7, whatever it was.
Oh yeah.
And then I bought Justin today. He wanted Far Cry 3 and
Blood Dragon.
So I bought him that, and then I decided to buy Blood Dragon for myself as well.
So good. So. It's so dumb. Oh my god, it's dumb. So like but it's great.
$12, I guess I've spent. $13.
I bought the Payday 2 soundtrack for $2. I thought that was a good pickup.
Nice. I bought Dark Souls for PC finally,
dude.
And then it doesn't work on Windows 8.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It works on my Windows 8. I will help you.
Do you have 8.1?
I don't know what that is.
it doesn't actually run. It just boots up and says, "Oh, games for Windows Live is fucked." Bye, and crashes out completely.
I can help you fix that. We'll talk after the show.
Okay, sweet. So because
that happened to me as well.
I bought Metro 2033, which I have been meaning to play forever, especially since when I upgraded my video card, I got a comp copy of Last Light, and nice. I didn't want to play the second game in the series without playing the first, and so I played a little bit of that, and it's pretty sweet, and I think that might be all I've gotten. I might have gotten like one other random thing, but that's pretty much it. And Jason?
Nothing.
You have truly won the holiday.
You win.
So all far.
Right. So, let's see. Locke has gone. Let's go with Nick. Nick, what have you been doing?
Well, I'm going to talk about Xbox One stuff a little bit later. That's definitely been the bulk of my gaming time. And then otherwise, on PS4, I'm addicted to the FIFA 14 and its Ultimate Team mode. I've been sharing some videos out on Facebook of some of the stuff.
I love it.
The ball physics and stuff and the player animations are just ridiculous. It's really, really slick. As someone who's played soccer all his life and kind of followed it, like the things I've seen done in the game are, it's in the game, as the slogan says for EA Sports. So
including the ridiculous injuries.
Is there a flop button?
There should be.
I have seen some pretty cool injuries happen, like real ones. Like the one time I was sprinting with the ball, my guy pulled a hammy, and he literally like kind of did the slow up animation and started grabbing his leg, kind of a thing. And
nice.
It was kind of interesting, and it's just a little. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say you're like, God. Damn it, why did you injure yourself there? I was like, man, that is a really good animation.
Yeah, that was kind of what happened. There's just little things like how the guys will go out of bounds and pick up the ball to do a throw-in without like a break in the action. And just, nice. I don't know, there's just so many little touches. And, you know, the default view, you're looking at it, and it looks pretty good. But when it gets in close and you see some of the stuff in the replays, it's ridiculous. So the FIFA Ultimate Team stuff, I don't know if anybody knows what it is, but it's basically... Yeah,
can you explain that? Because I am legitimately interested.
They got all
that.
It is. So basically what they did is they combine a card collection game with your with your playing. So you get a pack of cards and you build a team from it. Okay, and then you play games with the team, you earn money, you buy more cards. And the cards aren't just players. You can unlock things that, like, increase...
Like training and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's even cards that, like, heal your injured players. There's contract cards you can sign. You can, like, pull players off the market. Because you can sell any card you have and it puts it on the market. And then you can pull players off the market and sign them to contracts and things like that. There's cards for customizing your stadium, for customizing your uniforms. It's pretty deep, and basically they have a couple different ways to earn. There's single player season, single player tournaments, online seasons. There's challenges that are online and stuff too. So there's a lot to do, and it's basically like a fantasy kind of a thing, but mixed with the collectible card game.
correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't NHL do the same thing?
It does. NHL has the same thing. It's a little bit deeper in FIFA, and it's a lot more complicated because in NHL, you have to basically, when you build your squad, like in NHL, you have five players to worry about, essentially, and how they play well together. In FIFA, you have all 11, and there's different things that come into play. Are they in the right position? What nationality are they? What club do they play for? What special traits do they have? So if you have two guys from England playing midfield, like left midfield and like left center midfield, they get like a boost. And then if you have like the defender behind them that's also for England, they get even more of a boost. Then if they all happen to play for, you know, like AC Milan or something like that, they get another boost. So there's like all these little like tweaks and stuff that you can do to build the chemistry of your team. It's pretty cool.
So unlike in the real life, if you have a bunch of white guys on your team, you actually get a plus.
Yeah. Something like that.
So I am awaiting the day when someone just says, screw it, we're just going to make a card game that it roughly approximates sports.
I am okay with this.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, you know how one of the unsung games on the PSP was Metal Gear Acid, which was Metal Gear Solid, but you had a deck of cards and you had a hand and you had to play, you know, cards out of your hand in order to go through the level. And it was crazy and I loved it, and nobody else liked it. So they made a sequel to it, and then no one's done games like that since.
Yeah. It's so, weird.
Anyway, let's hear from Jason.
Mostly what I've been playing with the long holiday has been the latest Phoenix Wright Adventure,
yes.
Ace Attorney, Dual Destinies. Speaking of long, you know, sitting there reading a lot of dialogue and need to take a break and close up and put it into spin mode.
That is a 30-hour game, my friend.
It is.
I'm not even joking. I'm doing the DLC right now, and I'm 31 hours in.
I don't know how you guys play those games for that long. That's mental.
Because they're amazing.
It's mental.
It's so good.
That's longer than a season of television.
I don't care.
It's but not quite as long as the Lord of the Rings movies. So they're, I don't know, they're just great. Like I'd started off playing just a little bit of it, played like the first case, two cases, and set it down for a little while, and picked it back up again with a third case, and now I'm just totally hooked on it. And it's always that moment that you get to in those games where you're like, the next day of the trial. But this time around, it's like, I've played so many of these games at this point that like a lot of it is sort of, I can start picking out, all right, this person did it, and then you get a few clues, and you're like, okay, now I see why, and now I see how. That you actually get kind of frustrated at the characters, and you're just like, why don't you see what it is?
It's kind of like a horror movie in that way, but yeah, that game is real good.
A lot of fun. Aside from that, played some Tiny Brains this evening with Nick and two of the devs.
So Locke and I played that at E3 and really liked it. So what did you think?
I mean, I think
we played it local, so that may have been a better experience.
I think it's an awesome, like, it's going to be an awesome couch co-op game to play with your friends. It's going to be a lot of crazy kind of fun stuff that you do, and I think the one of the things that Nick was actually talking about with the devs was, because of the built-in Twitch, you know, Ustream capabilities on the PS4, I think being able, people posting some of their crazy solutions to a lot of these different challenges and stuff, that's gonna make, you know, it's kind of awesome that you can capture that live and kind of have it all and people go through it. It's pretty interesting how they have that set up.
And like, they were even surprised already by one of the things that I was trying to do. Like, you have to keep this chicken alive in this one part. And so the character I was built walls of ice, and then you can launch people up with the wall of ice. Yep. So I was like, well, I'll just keep them in the air and then nothing can hurt them. And they're like, well, huh, that's the first time we've seen that. So, like, if just, you know, the first time that they saw that, in terms of that. I mean, you know, there's just going to be these crazy things that they had never thought of solutions. And it's like we were talking about kind of before the show, Mike, where it's a physics-based puzzler, so it's kind of like unlimited.
Very, yeah, there's a lot of emergent stuff that comes out of it.
Yeah. So it'll be cool. I'm looking forward to checking out more of that. And then aside from that, just Risk of Rain and Path of Exile. Path of Exile, first time playing it.
Yeah, what'd you think, Jason? I know we talked about it on the stream, but like you've been playing a lot of Borderlands, so you're kind of used to the sort of loot generation games, but how did Path of Exile feel?
I definitely liked the gym and passive leveling mechanic. Like, you know, you level up your character to level up, you know, faster attack speed or do more melee damage or, you know, regenerate your mana faster, as opposed to, okay, now I have to figure out exactly what build I'm creating and let me go down this tree and spend, you know, 2 points here so I can just unlock this one thing and then I'm going to dump a bunch of points over here.
Oh, you'll get to that point. once you pass about level 20, that is what the game becomes. Don't get me wrong.
But, I mean, it's like, at least it's not like you're unlocking different, you know, the, you know, active skill kind of thing.
You don't, like you don't do abilities. A lot of, I'm going to take the rank 2 of Sinister Strike so I can branch off and take this later, even though I don't want to use this. Because your skill, your actual skill is not tied to that. All of the abilities you take in the tree are passive.
And so that's kind of a nice approach to it. I think it's interesting, too, that they have the Final Fantasy X skill map where you can just kind of go all crazy from one end to the other. And I like having the gyms. It's kind of neat that you, I mean, as a way to kind of hook you into it is a new gym drops with a new ability or a new skill, and you just kind of like, ooh, let me check out what this does. And you know, that's kind of adds a nice way to keep you coming back and playing more.
And you can also hand down gems to like new characters you make.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'm going to use this for a couple levels. It's not that great, but it'd be great for my other guy. So you sock it away in the stash and they pick it up.
Yeah.
Mike, you said you purchased something. Can you remind me what that was?
In Path of Exile?
Yeah.
I had a bunch of currency left over from the beta because... Okay. The beta had kind of a Kickstarter type thing where you could either put your name on the list and get in eventually, or you could just pay them, I think it was like $10, and you would get $10 worth of microtransaction currency.
Oh, cool.
And then it would give you a beta slot. So I got in that way. And there's a lot of stuff like alternate spell effects, and I bought like stash tabs.
Ah, yes, okay.
But smart. So the default stash just lets you... like sock stuff in it, but you can get like basically deluxe stash tabs, which you can reorder and rename and attach colors to, so you can organize your stuff a lot better.
Nice.
So I bought some of that. I bought some like glowy weapon. Like,
I'm sorry, wait. I just kind of have to back up there. That's out of all these different like free to play games, one of the things you can buy is Crate and Barrel accessories. Here's how you can place all your items into different colored bins and organize and label them.
It's true. It sounds really dumb, but it is actually really valuable because...
I don't disagree. I'm amazed that they sold that. I mean, like, kudos to them for thinking, like, what this really needs is a Tupperware party.
You're going in the potion bin.
I think it's the genius of their method of free-to-play, because they like the entire game, without exception, is free.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing gating you from any of the content. The only stuff that is ever purchasable is, like, I want my guy to leave bloody footprints in the ground when I walk. So you can pay a couple bucks and get that effect. You can get, like, devil horns for your character, where you can make your weapon glow green. You can buy stuff like that, but and you can buy all the inventory management stuff, but you don't, like, unlike basically every other massive free-to-play game, there's nothing stopping you from enjoying all of the content that the game has. Like, you're not blocked from, you don't have to pay 99 cents to enter a race. You can just do the race content. So, it's silly, but I'd rather pay for that stuff than, you know, like... pay to access levels 20 to 40.
Yeah. Well, no, and I went back and played some more Warframe recently too on the PS4, and it looks great. It plays really well, but getting back into it and just remembering how much of a grind the weapons and the other Warframes and everything are, that you just, I mean, like, if there's a Warframe that you want, you're almost just like, you know what, it's worth the $15 or $20 to just get it now and play it, as opposed to sit there and try and grind this for the next 20-30 hours.
Yeah. So is that it for you?
That's it.
So like Jason, I already beat Ace Attorney 5, but there's a DLC case that I picked up because I can always play more Phoenix Wright, much to Locke's shock, I guess. But the DLC case is awesome because it doesn't really tie into the core game, which follows a central story arc almost the entire way through. So they can be more offbeat. So in this case, the case opens up with you as the defense attorney for a killer whale who dresses like a pirate and is accused of murder. And it's just amazing. It's very funny. And Jason, you must play it.
I will.
It is worth the $5 or whatever it costs.
You had me sold on killer whale dressed like a pirate, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. So the main thing I've been playing over the break is Super Mario 3D World, which is just an absolutely phenomenal Mario game. It is, like, Mario 3D Land on the 3DS was really great, and there were a lot of awesome ideas in it. And 3D World is, that team just, it's the same team, and I think they're also the same guys who made the two Galaxy games. So
that,
like,
is correct.
It is just bursting forth with creativity and charm, and it uses the Wii U gamepad in really awesome ways that you don't, like. So the game has it's set up like 3D Land was. There's an overworld, and you go into, like, themed levels, and in each level there's three stars that are hidden and some collectible stuff. And you go in, and the first few are just kind of your standard Mario, and then it starts going into really weird places. Like, there is a level that is actually a Mario Kart track, and beautiful. So it plays like the Mario Kart music from the Super Nintendo, like Mario Circuit 1, the music everybody knows. So you're running through that, and there's like speed pads on the ground, so like you're playing with your friends and you're racing through the level. Nice. And there's, like, you know, crazy jumps you have to make, and there's a lot of stuff like that. There's, like, instead of castles, like, there are some, like, regular castles, but almost all the castles have, like, some kind of vehicle motif. So, like, in the end of the first world, you go through this castle, and then Bowser shows up in a giant giant purple pimp mobile, and you're running after him along this track, and he's just hurling bombs at you, and you're busting up his ride, and he gets mad. There's some trains, there's tank brigades, there's a level, and this is where they start doing a lot of fun stuff with the gamepad. There's a level that's like a Japanese pagoda, like a temple, and you're running through it, and so there's all these doors. And to open the doors, you slide on the gamepad. You use the touch screen and slide them open. So you can actually... the game kind of teaches you this visual language and says, okay, you can open doors this way. There's, like, gongs hidden throughout the level. So you can, like, tap on the gong, and sometimes secret doors open up. And it doesn't really, like, point you at saying, like, hit this with your finger. But because you've been using the gamepad a little bit in that level, you can kind of find secrets that way. Like, there's a beach level, and you can take the gamepad and just draw pictures in the sand in the level while you're playing. Or you can, there'll be like a tree or something, and you, like, it's something you could not jump to, but you can touch it. So, like, you tap the tree that's out of reach of the players, and then, you know, like a secret star might come out. Like, you'd be running through a field of dandelions, and if you blow on the mic on the controller, it blows all the dandelions away. There's a lot of really you know, kind of, I guess, inessential, but just really fun secret things that way. And a lot of it, you have to use the gamepad, and it just never tells you. It's up to you to explore and find out, and there's a lot of stuff that you just, like, my review is going to go up, I think, on Wednesday for this, and I opened it up saying, like, this, if the Wii U launched with this game, the Wii U would be probably in a much different place, because this is, it doesn't suffer from the same Mario fatigue that New Super Mario Brothers U did, where it's like, we just had this exact game.
Yeah, and like a shiny graphics
aren't
going to
make this better. But this is like, this would be like the game launching with a Mario Galaxy quality platformer. And it's got 4-player co-op. And the great thing about this is that the co-op in all the new Super Mario Brothers games is nice. You can have 4 people running around, but a lot of times you're just bumping into each other. And
pretty chaotic.
It's really chaotic. And the last time around, I found it pretty fun. But, you know, a lot of times it just led to arguments. And this one, because the levels are in 3D, you're not all restricted to the same plane. There's more space for everyone to run around and not get in each other's way. Nice. And generally do, like, more co-op stuff. Like, I can run and pick, you know, lock up and throw him up on a platform he could not get to without that. So there's a lot of nice stuff like that. The power-up, there's more power-ups in this game than I think there have been since, like, Mario 3.
Wow.
There's the fire Mario, there's Boomerang, you have a Boomerang Mario suit, you have the cat suit, you have, like, you know, the Kiribo shoe makes its triumphant return, and except this time there's an ice skate on the bottom, so you're basically, like, in a giant level playing, like, body check hockey against a bunch of other Goombas in the suit, well, you know, giant tornadoes are trying to blow you off the map. There's just a lot of really nutty stuff in it. Like, there's an entire set of mini games where you play as this, like, explorer version of Toad, and it's basically Fez. Like, it's a level that you have to rotate and manipulate things to solve puzzles because he's not he can't jump because he's got this giant backpack. And it's too heavy for him, so you have to walk everywhere and just and do like this rotation and manipulation. It's really
that's cool.
It's really fun, and you know, it uses a lot of the same, like, rather than the Mario, Luigi, and two Toads, they finally just let you play as the princess again. Yay. And they all have their, like, Mario 2 type abilities. So Luigi has the higher but wackier jump. Mario's kind of the all rounder. Toad is really fast. And the princess can float. It's pretty great. And you actually unlock a fifth character to play as.
Nice.
Later in the game. I won't spoil that. But
it's Bowser.
No, it's not Bowser. But it's super, super fun. And if you have a Wii U, you better be playing that game because it's the best thing on it. And I also, I decided it was a Nintendo weekend. So I also picked up Zelda Link Between Worlds, which is the basically a sequel to A Link to the Past. It's not really a sequel, it's just another Zelda that takes place in the same world. But it remixes the Zelda formula so successfully that it felt instantly familiar, but I felt like I was just playing an entirely different game. Because one of the core conceits is that all of the Zelda items are available to you from basically the moment you start playing. So, like, you go through and you're like, there's this guy who shows up and he says, I will lend you any of these for like 20 rupees. So you're like, all right, before I go into any dungeon or explore anything, I grinded up like 100 rupees or a couple hundred rupees and said, I would like the bombs, the bow and arrow, the hook shot, the hammer, the la 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 la. And then I had the full Zelda inventory, and it is non-linear. So other than a couple points when you have to do something, you can tackle any of the dungeons in any order.
Hmm.
You want to pick the hardest dungeon in the low rule, which is the dark world. It's high rule and low rule.
Gotcha.
It's like A Link to the Past. So you do the 3 dungeons and then the 4th one that opens access to the dark world. And when you're in the dark world, there's 7 dungeons and you can go wherever you want and do them in whatever order. And all you have to do is, and the other thing is, with few exceptions, they don't actually make you use the item you found in the dungeon to solve the dungeon. So it lets them be really freeform with the puzzles. And that game is... That is... It's really, really, really good. And it's like half fan service and half like, hey, you know what? You guys have been asking us to do something different with Zelda, and... You know, big. You know, the big Zelda games on the home consoles are kind of they're always going to be the Ocarina of Time, whatever. You know, template. But this one, it just let them be really experimental, and there's like no touchscreen garbage in it like there were on, with the ones on the DS. And I love it.
That's cool.
It's super great. So let's move on because we've been talking about these games for quite a
Nintendo.
While. Nintendo quietly released the best games for its console this fall.
When the Xbox came out.
Yeah, the Xbox One, the PS4 comes out, and the best game of the fall is on the freaking Wii U. In my humble opinion. In any case, let's talk a little bit about Defiance. It's a game I haven't thought about in quite a while.
What?
Yeah. So they released one of their new DLC packs called Arcbreaker, and you know, like any other DLC pack, it's got new levels, new, you know, Defiance ran with kind of a season based storyline. So they followed the TV show, and then they've done these little content pushes with mission sets. But one of the things that I didn't like about the original game was that, well, you could basically co-op with everybody around you in the world, and you form a party and do the in-world quests. There's all the story missions, and Nick, your cat looks like it's annoying the crap out of you.
Yeah, he's going behind.
I just see this tail, and you're giving him the evil eye.
And he just stole a twist tie from my desk. He's like, thanks.
He's putting you in your place. So anyway, you form a party and be like, all right, let's go bomb around the world, do some quests, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to do the story quest. And it boots your entire party, so you could do this like single player mission, and then there were like the co-op missions, which were the instances in the game, and this add-on finally just said, you know what, just everything is co-op, so it filled in some of the gaps that we had a problem with originally. Check that out if you're still playing Defiance. I don't know a whole lot of people who are, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
You ran around. You shot guns.
You shot guns.
There was a dancing cat lady thing.
There's a swear word called shtako.
Yeah.
Which sounded really terrible every time any character in the game said it. And, man, now I'm sad.
Yeah. I'll go on. I'll do our next story for you then, so you can weep.
It'll cheer you up.
You can weep quietly to yourself.
In iambic pentameter.
Yes. Oh, well, nice segue into House of the Dead Overkill adds Shakespeare DLC. Typing
of the Dead.
Typing of the Dead Overkill.
House of the Typing of the Dead of the Overkill.
But the bigger news of it is that the game finally got the patch that enabled the online co-op mode for it, so you can type with friends and kill zombies to your favorite Shakespeare.
Because when that game launched, didn't it have like coming soon as the multiplayer option? You'd try and select it and be like, oh, we're going to patch this in later. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But I think I know
what we're streaming next time.
Yeah, we could do some Typing of the Dead. It'd be pretty cool.
Typing?
Yeah. Mike and I will do it since we got the clickiest of keyboards.
That's right, we do.
I played a bunch of it, and if you've played Typing of the Dead, you'd like this. Not much more to say. I think the DLC's $3 or something like that.
Yep.
And they're definitely planning.
But the co-op mode is free?
Yeah, the co-op mode is free. It's just a patch.
Good. So Locke, why don't you tell us about.
You want some ho-ho-hos?
I would like some ho-ho-hos.
All right, so it's December, and like every good company does, releases holiday DLC or reskin. But the Saints Row 4. The fourth Saints Row game has their next DLC, How the Saints Save Christmas, which focuses around taking Santa and saving him from inside the program.
What is he doing to that reindeer?
Fisting the reindeer. Okay. So it's up to the Saints to show the boss that what
the true Christmas,
meaning of Christmas is the true meaning of Christmas and get Santa out of the program. So if you know, that's, you might as well get that because it's ridiculous and awesome. But the better thing is that they have a Christmas caroling contest on right now, and you can sing along on the site. It's linked in the story, but it's pretty funny. I think you can get some pretty good, you have until the 5th, you can get some pretty good vocal tracks in there for the Saints Row Christmas caroling contest. I think the folks at Volition are pretty good sports about that stuff, so I hope they release some of that, some of the best ones at least, which would be nice. So yeah, I mean, lots of people, obviously, if you have the
Seasons
Pass, name escaped me, if you have a Seasons Pass, you could, the Seasons Pass, you see what I mean? Yes. There yeah, you'd be playing this, but I mean, why not? Saints Row, dress up your character, get a beard, Santa, get some eggnog, go do it. Go fist reindeer.
I'm actually really hoping, have the rest of you played that game to its completion yet?
No, haven't had a chance.
Okay, well, I'm just hoping that eventually, like, as part of the season pass, they do some DLC that springboards off the way that game ends.
It'd be awesome.
I think it would be great.
Right on.
All right.
And from there, there's really no transition from fisting reindeer to the Hobbit Lego games. I don't.
God, I hope
yeah,
not.
There's. So Warner Brothers, of course, you know, they've got all those Lego games. They had Lego Lord of the Rings,
which was pretty good.
They got Lego Marvel Super Heroes, whatever, which I hear is really
good. People are loving that game.
So they you know, there's a movie coming out soon within that same sort of Tolkien franchise.
It's part two of a cherished
300,
story.
250 page book.
Maybe took some artistic license with the story.
A little bit.
Cast some familiar characters, you know, like,
friends become enemies become friends.
You know? Well, you know, the dude from The Office. The original
yes.
Office.
The Office UK, yes, yes.
And you know, the traditional Christmas love story, Love Actually.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Also, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The hell are you guys talking about? I thought this was a Lego game.
Yeah, so anyways, Warner Bros. Interactive announces that the next Lego game is Lego the Hobbit. Coming out in 2014.
If that game doesn't have a magical transforming bear in Lego form, I'm going to be really sad. I just want to see how they get a Lego dude from Lego dude to Lego bear.
Yeah.
I just pop
just
off his
deconstructs
legs.
And reconstructs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they could do like a cool effect.
So at the very least, you know, you're going to get, you know, Bilbo and Gandalf. And of course,
all of your favorite
games.
Have you guys seen
Thorin, Fili, Kili, Oin, Gloin, Dwalin, Balin, Biffer, Boffer, Bomber, Dory, Nori, and Ori?
Have you guys
seen
the...
Damn, if you did that without having that up, I'm going to be really impressed.
No, I had to read that.
Did you guys see the preview for the Lego movie coming out next? I think it's next year.
It looks gloriously stupid.
Yeah, it looks pretty great.
It looks so stupid, I have to see it.
Yeah.
What a ringing endorsement
just,
for a
just
film.
For the moment in the trailer where the Lego dude looks at the Lego girl and is like, dat ass. I just can't deal with this. And there's Batman.
Yep.
It's like, what the hell is going on?
And Wonder Woman.
Because why not, right?
Lego Gandalf. Yeah, there's some interesting things going on there. There was a new preview before Frozen for it that looked pretty good. So
I will be taking my daughter to see Frozen this weekend, so I'm sure I'll see the trailer.
Yes, you will.
Surprisingly, there wasn't one before Thor Dark World, but I don't know. Maybe that was just an oversight. Maybe they didn't get the memo about the Lego game tie-in. Or
and there wasn't one before Hunger Games, because Lego Hunger Games sounds like it would be a pretty interesting thing.
I would play that game. I would play that game. Just to see the other Lego characters eat the other... That'd be awesome.
No, no, this isn't Lego Lord of the Flies.
So anyway,
Lego the Hobbit.
Is there a... sorry, tangential topic here. Is there
I'm
a
all
game...
about tangents,
which we never
too.
Do. We never
no,
do.
Never.
Yeah.
Is there a game like Battle Royale or Hunger Games? Where it's like, it's not necessarily an arena battle. It is an arena. It's a large arena.
Yeah.
In a forest. You pick your character, class, whatever, and you fight.
I think basically any last man standing mode in an FPS would be about as close as you can get. Just
yeah.
find one in a jungle.
Hmm. I would like it to be like more like half survival, half it not necessarily shooting. Maybe not even any shooting.
I think the closest you could probably get to that would be something like DayZ.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, DayZ.
Like you could kind of set up a DayZ server with that kind of rule set.
Yeah,
might be neat.
Yeah, no, that's
in
that's
fact
good.
That
or,
sounds amazing. Let's make that.
Let's
game.
Do that. Let's
if,
make
if,
that.
If you go a little
right,
bit,
break.
Go a little old school. Ikari Warriors 2. Ikari Warriors 2.
Ain't nobody got time.
You don't
for that.
Get the. You don't get the sweet rotating joystick.
Ikari Warriors 2. I don't even know what happened in that game.
Should we talk about Xbox One now?
Man, fuck Xbox. We're talking about Ikari Warriors.
We're talking about retro shit. Man.
You got some cheat codes for that game, I think.
All right. So probably. the other thing I want to mention is 'tis the season for deals and stuff, and you've probably already bought a bunch of crap on various sales, but PlayStation Plus has updated for December. And two standout co-op games are up there. Borderlands 2 on the PS3 and Soul Sacrifice for Vita. So if for some reason you are a fan of our site and you haven't played at least Borderlands 2, you should probably check that out.
Word.
Use it. You know, use that free month you got from your PS4 purchase now that you're done playing all the actual good games for it.
Yep.
And go back to your PS3 and enjoy some Borderlands 2 and see if Jason is still playing. Because I think that boy's probably put 1,000 hours in that game by now.
Probably. Anyways.
You are the most handsome Jack. So anyway, Nick, you're going to talk about what makes the X-Bone better than the PS4, because we are total X-Bots here, right?
I guess so. Is that the
more like sex-bots?
I don't know.
Damn.
Man. You look at those review scores, and the review scores say otherwise.
Oh, yeah, what's up with that review?
I gave it a...
Tell me why Rise is just as good as Mass Effect 3.
I didn't score it the same as Mass Effect 3, but it's... I tell you, Rise.
Tell me why we cannot review co-op games properly.
Apparently let's start at the beginning. Let's just start with the Xbox One itself.
Back in 2008, a man had an idea.
I said to you, Mike, when I got it, like, it wasn't as big as I think the internet made it out to be in terms of sheer size and design and everything. It's about the size of your original Xbox 360, but squared off.
Right on.
But yeah, I mean, it's a nice looking piece of hardware. It doesn't feel cheap and stuff. I mean, you're getting your $500 worth, I guess. The new Kinect is a bit bigger than the old one, but it's like, it's solid feeling. Like, it doesn't look cheap and plasticky like the old one did. So, but when
it doesn't wiggle around.
it doesn't. You know, the old one kind of moved on its own and stuff. This one doesn't do that. It's got a much wider field of view and stuff. And I didn't really have too much of a problem going out of its field of view like I did with the old one. But anyway, you know, once you get the thing hooked up and if you decide to put your TV through it or not, I did that for a little bit. It was kind of cool to begin with. You know, like, I tried to get my daughter to say, all right, you know, you can watch whatever you want. Say Xbox, go to Disney Channel, and it'll, you know, change the channel to Disney Channel. And it had some problems picking her up. Like, she doesn't speak confidently when she's doing something like that, right? You know, she's just doing her giggly little kid thing. So it didn't, it didn't work out too well, but I don't know. It's kind of cool, the TV stuff, but eventually, and I don't know if it's still going on, people were having problems where after a couple of days, the TV stuff would get kind of unreliable and slow and things like that. So I just, I unhooked it and switched it back to the other thing for as much as we would use it. Anyway.
But did you hook a PS4 into the Xbox One?
I hooked my Xbox 360 into it just to see if there was lag issues and stuff. And it, honestly, it was minimal, if anything. So, I mean, you can hook up any HDMI device. I saw, like, Kotaku actually hooked an Xbox One into itself. And got,
I saw. That was nuts.
Right? Got the Hall of Mirrors effect. I don't know if anybody ever did that when they were, you know, recording video. You know, pointing it at the TV and getting that crazy thing going on. But the interface is definitely in its infancy. If you've used Windows 8 and or Windows Phone, it's it's familiar and it would work.
That's not a good thing.
There's nothing wrong with the Windows 8 interface. It works for what it's designed for, and that's a tablet. But the problem with the Xbox One is, like I was saying, I guess a good example is like the store. If you want to find a demo for something, the store right now is just a straight list of stuff. Instead of having any organization, like there's a definite need to use the voice stuff for things, which when it works, it's great. But sometimes you're sitting there like saying, no, that's not what I said. You know, if I say, I don't know, anything. Xbox, go to settings, it might launch Skype. And you're like, no, damn it, I said settings. You know, like,
and then Xbox tells you to tone down your swearing.
Yeah, like I've had that happen a couple times where it's launched the wrong thing. But other times, it's worked beautifully. I was telling Mike the story before this, that I was able to basically turn on my Xbox, launch Xbox Fitness, and get into a workout, all without picking up a controller or touching my TV remotes and anything. I was literally tying my shoes while I was getting into the game and getting ready to do that stuff. So the Xbox Fitness, man, that shit's witchcraft. I don't know how it detects your heartbeat, but it is pretty damn close to what it is.
It's the Predator vision. Like, it's gotten that Kinect.
Like, seriously, like, it's like there's no way. But so that's pretty cool. Let's talk about the games, though, because that's really why you buy these things, right? Not for the interface. Rise, Son of Rome was definitely a surprise for me. I had pretty low expectations, though, so maybe that's why. I think we, Locke and Mike, we all saw it at E3. We're like, it looks cool, but it's a giant QuickTime event. Like, what's up with that? And the reality is the game is more like, it's like a God of War kind of game, but it's more, it's slower paced, it's not as chaotic,
set in realism instead of
it's just, I don't know, the combat in it is just very, very satisfying, and they have a pretty good progression system where you unlock abilities and things like that, and you unlock new finishing moves essentially. And the story is good, the graphics, like some of the set pieces, it's definitely the best looking game I've seen on either the console, the new consoles. The co-op mode, it's fun, but it's grindy. You can definitely see like microtransaction need in it, which is bizarre. And unfortunately, like all the first party games seem to be doing that now, where they all have the option to buy microtransaction type stuff. Like Forza 5, there's microtransactions to speed up your experience gains, or you can obviously purchase stuff directly. If you want a car, you can pay real money for it and things like that. Like,
isn't there a $100 car?
The equivalent, I don't know.
I think like the big F1 racer thing that they've been touting is literally like $99
if you pay cash for
currency.
It.
Yeah.
And I mean, see, that's, I'm okay with that, but like, make the game free.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, the bigger problem was it wasn't so much that like it cost that for it. It's that it seemed like they intentionally made it more difficult in the game to earn enough in-game credits
to do
to realistically get there. So yeah, like Forza 5, I mean, it's gorgeous. The Drivatar stuff is great. Being able to see like your friends in all your races and stuff, like, it's funny because like you yell at them for doing things even though they're not really
they're not there.
Like, I tweeted Sunflower today because his Drivatar is really aggressive, and the last time I raced he was pissing me off, and I said your Drivatar's an asshole, man. You know, it's just, so that's kind of, it's kind of an interesting thing. And you know, like I said, the game looks great, but the microtransaction stuff in Forza 5 is kind of suspect. What else have I been playing? Zoo Tycoon. Kid loves Zoo Tycoon. Building animals, adopting animals.
That was the thing that seems like it might sell me the Xbox One, just because I know Jade would go nuts over it.
Viva Pinata!
You can make faces at monkeys. They'll make faces back. You can feed animals with the Kinect if you want. You can... What else can you do with the thing, kind of interaction-wise? I don't know. It's a really good-looking game, too. Like, the animals are really, really well-designed, I guess you can say. The model.
Wasn't it actually put together by the same dev team that made Kinectimals?
Maybe.
Because I hear that's why the interaction with the animals is so good, because they basically just put Kinectimals into the game.
Into the zoo thing, yeah. So, and it's pretty deep. Like, there's layers upon layers upon layers of stuff, and they do a good job of like keeping it simple if you want it to be simple. But if you want to get down and adjust the prices of hamburgers, you can do that too, basically. So,
what are we talking here for hamburgers? Like 99 cents a cheeseburger? Are we 59 cents?
No. What they do is actually,
you're at a zoo. That's gonna be a $12.
Oh no, I don't want to do that.
It is somewhat simplified. You do like a low, medium, and high, and free. Oh, okay. I think for most of the stuff.
Free cheeseburgers for all.
Yeah,
free cheeseburgers. I'd go to that zoo every day.
Oh yeah, I would throw cheeseburgers at the gorillas.
But I haven't been able to try the co-op. Like, you can basically do like shared co-op on the same console, but I haven't been able to do the online co-op yet. I haven't found someone else that actually has it, because I don't know if you play at the same time, or if you just basically, when you say, okay, I'll let my zoo be co-opable and these people are allowed to play in it, and basically they go on and then they can go in the zoo and make changes, and it saves it to the cloud and kind of just keeps sharing it. Oh, that way,
that's cool.
It's kind of interesting, so you guys can work on you know, multiple ones, and there's challenges in it. There's a campaign, and there's basically a free play where there's no money limitations. So,
well done, Jason.
What else I've been playing? This Power Star Golf is really fun. It's basically Microsoft's take on the PlayStation franchise, which escapes me now.
Hot Shots Golf.
Again, though, it's another title where microtransactions are kind of pretty heavy in it in terms of what you can buy. They do the card system in it where you buy packs of cards that gets you stuff. You earn credits in game and you buy more cards that unlock things and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, didn't Microsoft actually in the Xbox generation buy the developer that made Lynx? Like that old?
Yeah, they used to have the Lynx game.
So I wonder if in some real weird bastard way that's where this game came from.
Could be, maybe. I mean, it's not like
probably a, not. It's been so long.
It's not a very realistic golf game. Like, you can buy, so like for instance, your one character, he's like a magician, and he can do like his special this shot is when he hits the ball, you can split it into like six of them, and then it takes the best one of those six as your shot.
Just like real life.
Yes, just like real life. What else? Crimson Dragon. Seems pretty fun. It's definitely built for co-op, even though the co-op's not there yet. That's another game that's getting a free co-op patch. Basically, right now, it's just you hire wingmen, and it's AI-controlled guys that'll fly with you. But you can hire your friends.
Right.
In that. One thing I wanted to mention about Forza 5, which is cool, is your Drivatar, if you do that, it'll earn you credits by how it does in the other races it races in, and it comes back to you.
So if you suck, your Drivatar will also suck and be useless.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
What was that system? What did they call them in Dragon's Dogma?
Oh, the pawns.
Pawns, yeah.
Oh man, I love that game. Dragon's Dogma.
Where's the PC release? Anyways.
Dragon's Dogma has the best theme song of any game I've ever played, and then it has the greatest mind fuck of an ending. Unrelated to the Xbox, but I had to put it out there.
Okay.
So I guess the last game I've really been playing is Dead Rising 3. I finally started that up. And
is that the system seller?
It's pretty impressive. I mean, if you like Dead Rising, you're gonna like Dead Rising 3. There's something super crazy. The vehicle stuff is fun. I know Dead Rising 2 didn't have any vehicles, did it? It's been a while since I
car.
It had a
and they had a motorcycle.
It had car.
I'm
it
had sure car. The whole premise of Dead Rising 2 was that you were a stunt biker.
Yeah.
So there was one car.
No, you had a bike with chainsaws on the front.
Dirt bike.
Yeah. I remember dirt bike.
That, but I don't.
You were actually Dave Mira.
like in. Like Dead Rising 3, you can basically you can get in a steamroller and literally plow through zombies, or you can get in a Mustang and drive in full speed, and you know they try and latch onto your car and stuff. And
so, if you have a co-op buddy that isn't there, does it use your Drivatar from Forza?
No.
This guy's a jerk.
No, the co-op stuff is pretty seamless though with it.
That'd be a great tie-in, though. Like, a bad Forza driver makes an excellent co-op zombie-killing partner.
I like it.
So I gotta point something really random out since we're talking about Drivatars and stuff. Mario 3D World, when you return to a level you've already beaten and you're not playing in co-op, it gives you 3 co-op partners based on other people who have played the level.
Yes.
Which is... It's kind of they don't really help you that much. They just kind of wander around, but it's interesting. You can kind of game some of the puzzly bits using them.
I'll let you game my puzzly bits.
So anyway, I
what kind of interlocking pieces we talking about, Locke?
Just two.
Let me wrap up the Xbox One stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, bottom line. It just feels like it was rushed a little bit in terms of overall feature set and stuff. Like, you know, the Snap 2 stuff is pretty cool. Basically, you can run two things at once. You can switch in and out of applications very quickly, things like that. But there's just some basic stuff that we all, really enjoyed on the Xbox 360 that's missing. Party chat, it works. But I was telling Mike, anytime you have more than two people, you have to, enable the chat as a
the actual kind of the actual party chat.
Yeah, it's bizarre. There's no voice messaging right now.
Well, you know, co-op nights make me a little thankful for no voice messages.
So,
hey man, I'm gonna play Renegade Ops.
Because, well, the quality of the voice now, in game, I was playing Rise co-op online with someone for quite a while. The voice, it's really, really good.
Nice.
It's probably akin to a really solid Ventrilo or Mumble server, right?
Yeah, just it's really good, really smooth. Nice. There's very little background noise and stuff, so I
hear all of the people calling me all these homophobic epithets very clearly now,
and crystal clear clarity. Yes. You can hear the best insults from XS Penis Lord XX, just. He's sitting right there next to you.
I can't wait for the headshot on you. You suck so bad, you noob.
I can't wait for GTA Online when GTA 5 inevitably comes to these consoles, because everyone says it's going to, right?
Yep.
When GTA Online and the voice chat experiences I had with that game come to crystal clear audio quality of the next generation Xbox.
It's going to be glorious.
Especially when 1,000 random people can follow me and leave me awesome messages when they put the voice chat back. There'll be a new art in trolling.
Now it sounds like this is a thing. Yeah, it's a little bit rushed, but these are things that they can implement later, obviously, right?
It's nothing that isn't fixable. You know, there's nothing wrong with the hardware itself. You know, the controller is still, it's top notch.
900 pieces otherwise, Nick. Sorry.
But no, that I mean, in this day and age, that's a really cool thing. That's cool that they can do that.
Yeah, but like I you know, I think Jason was saying about the scores earlier. I think I put the Xbox slightly below the PS4, in terms of where they are now. I think the PS4 is a more polished experience.
It's also doing less stuff, though.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, it is doing less stuff.
Because you got to get that fantasy football, man. You get your fantasy pool up on there, you watch an NFL, man.
Is that your American accent?
I don't know. Football.
That's actually pretty good.
What if you know, Xbox, Microsoft had announced a pairing with the NHL? How would you feel about that, Block?
Talk to me when you are pairing with Blood Bowl, any sport involving non-humans, anything.
If only that Mutant League Football reboot Kickstarter had failed, right?
Yeah, no, I'm all about the alternative sports fantasy pools. So, and no, I'm not. I don't mean like lingerie bowl. I mean like robot.
You mean like
I'm into
CFL.
That one though.
Yeah, I mean like the CFL.
Is that about wrapping up for the Xbox, Nick, or you got any final thoughts here?
Yeah, I think that's probably about it.
Final thoughts. Sweet. Nick hates games.
So both next gen systems are kind of barren for new releases for a couple months, right?
Yeah,
surprisingly.
Well, gotta let everybody, it's getting it for Christmas, experience the zeitgeist of the launch titles, I guess.
I'll just get it.
Anyway, that's gonna do it for us this week. This is it's been a good week. We've had a lot of fun. Everyone's jovial after coming off the holiday weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. So why don't you all do us a favor and check out our apps? We got iOS, Windows Phone 7 apps. Do you know if that works on Windows Phone 8, Nick?
I don't. I don't have a Windows Phone 8 device to test.
All right. But we also have an Android app, and you can leave us some feedback on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at CoOptimus without the dash. And I see something special from Mr. Locke today. He's got
the winner's guide to Nintendo.
Yeah, you want some Battletoads tips?
Oh, we always need.
Don't play Battletoads.
Don't play Battletoads. So, hot tip. In level 2 in the crater, eat as many of the flies as you can to restore some of your energy.
Doesn't matter, because then you're going to hop on that bike and fail like anything.
Don't worry.
So, Locke, I have something of my own I'd like to contribute.
Sure.
I have the official Nintendo Power top secret
passwords. Nice.
Codes and passwords. So I'm just going to open this to a random page.
Ikari Warriors.
Let's see. Okay. A good co-op title. River City Ransom.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel that.
So if you'd like to power up and start punching, you know, you usually start the game with minimal punching and kicking skills, but by keying in this password, though, you can start in style. All the gang leaders are still in the picture, but you possess the power to run through the city with fists flying, emptying the streets in a hurry. Here's a password.
That's another game with a lot of fisting. I think Saints Row took a page from that. All right.
You ready for this password, friends?
Okay, write this down.
W412YSGT capital M Q C capital M capital U capital S J capital K M 2 capital P Q T capital E all caps U J M N lowercase D U T G O Q C.
Perfect.
Got it.
Thank you, Mike.
Somehow Nailed River it. City Fisting just didn't take off as a title.
It was lost in translation.
Anywho.
All right.
There's some gold in here, my friends. So let's just wrap it up. This has been CoopCast episode 117. Next time we talk, we're going to be talking about kind of year in review, I think.
Yeah.
Looking at games that came out this fall. Look forward to whatever we decide to stream next Monday or Tuesday. You can always, we've been doing that for a couple, I guess about a month and a half, 2 months now.
Yeah.
On weeks we do not record a podcast, we have been live streaming a co-op game that tickles our fancy, and it goes goes up on our Twitch stream and overtakes the front page of the website, because nothing ain't nothing finer than watching a bunch of idiots yell at each other playing co-op games. So
it's like this, only with a cane.
Check those out. You can hop in on the Twitch channel and join in the chat and have a good old time watching us have a good old time. You know, wishing that you were playing with us.
Locke, play us out.
I can't. I got nothing.
He doesn't.
I have to close all my programs to record, otherwise it makes everything go bad.
Next time, I think we're going to have something special from Locke. Maybe an impromptu performance mid-podcast.
No, that's
from his light bright.
Yeah, my light bright. No, that's the...
You know how you get on Xbox Live and there's that idiot playing Call of Duty that has the rap music going and his open mic? This is going to be like that, except Locke is going to be playing crunchy electronica for us.
Nice.
And with that, we are out for the next 2 weeks. Have a good one, and we will see you later.
All right, stop.